It's November the 19th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. Last 3 days, we've been in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Before that, we were in the book of Ezekiel. Now we're jumping back to the Old Testament today for 4 days in the great book of Daniel. Daniel, we're going to call it Courageous Faith in Dangerous Times. Courageous Faith in Dangerous Times. Daniel, the book of Daniel, is the final book of the five major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, called major prophets because they're longer books. Now, I know Lamentations is a little bit shorter, goes with the book of Jeremiah, but these books, these major prophets, are longer than the minor prophets that we're coming to in just a few days. Daniel, Courageous Faith in Dangerous Times. Love this book. Was thinking the other day that I'm not sure about this, but I think I've probably spent more time teaching this book in more places than any other book in the Bible. The only other possible book would be the book of Galatians, which I've been teaching now for over 20 years at Word of Life Bible Institute in New York and now in Florida and a couple places around the world. But besides that, besides Galatians, the book that I've taught the most would be the book of Daniel. And counting the different places, I have, I'm sure, preached on Daniel more places, more Bible conferences, more places around the world than any other book in the Bible. Never really set out to do it that way, but I think it's important. And I say that because there's no book that is more relevant to our world today, 21st century, 2023, November the 19th, coming up on Thanksgiving. There is no book that we Christians need more desperately than we need the book of Daniel, because here is a young man who was plunged against his will into the heart of pagan darkness, and he let his light shine, and under God and with God's help, for 70 years in the heart of heathen darkness, God raised this young man up until frankly, he started as a young man in Babylon and died as an old man in Babylon, never once faltered in his faith in God. When the book opens, Daniel is, I'm going to say, about 15 years old. He could have been as old as 20 or 22, 23, I suppose, but I think most people would say probably a teenager. We do know the year. The book opens in the year 605 BC, which is the first time when the Babylonian army came to Jerusalem. Remember, I told you when we were going through Ezekiel, three times the Babylonians came, 605 BC, 597 BC, and 586 BC. Well, we're dealing now with the first time, 605 BC, when Nebuchadnezzar and the army came. They didn't destroy the city. They didn't burn the temple. That would come, or tear down the temple. That would come later, 586 BC. But they took away a number of the leaders of Jewish society in Jerusalem, and a number of the young men, that the bright, smart young men, and they deported them from Jerusalem hundreds of miles across the desert or up through the Fertile Crescent from Jerusalem back to Babylon, from the city of God to the city that was the heart of heathen darkness. Daniel was one of the young men who were deported against his will from the only home, the only family they'd never ever known, taken away to far off Babylon. And basically the way I think about the book, best way I think for us to understand it, is the very first verse takes place in Jerusalem. Verse 1, chapter 1 of Daniel. Everything else in the book of Daniel happens in Babylon. This is the story of how God can use his people when they are in a place where they never wanted to be. Book opens in 605 BC, when Daniel is a young man. It closes in 535 BC, which would be right after the first group of of deportees. The first group of Jews returned back to Jerusalem. Daniel was not among them. As far as we know, once he was deported to Babylon, he lived in Babylon, he died in Babylon, and somewhere in the hot sands around Babylon, he is still buried today. What do we learn from this book? How to live for God in a pagan world. I think the great question of the book of Daniel is this: can we trust a God who has been defeated? Because when this book opens, not only is Nebuchadnezzar won, not only is Daniel and his friends, not only have they been deported, but the temple of God has been looted, and the gold and the silver, these implements, these goblets that were used in the worship of God, they were taken from Jerusalem, they were transported back to Babylon, and there they were placed into the temple treasury of the heathen gods of Babylon. And you understand that looting a temple was something that was done in that day, so that if you went to battle against some other nation, you wouldn't just defeat them, but as a sign of the defeat, you would go into their temple, whatever god they worship, and you would take the implements of their pagan worship and bring it back to the temple of your god. It was a way of saying, my God is a winner, your God is a loser. So that's really the question that hangs over this whole book. Can we trust a God who has been defeated? Well, you're going to hang around to the end of the book to get the answer to the question, but I'll bet you probably already know what the answer is. Outline of the book. A lot of people divide it between the historical part, chapters 1 through 6, and the prophetic part, chapters 7 through 12. But of course, there's history in the prophetic part, and there's prophecy in the historical part. There's another way to divide this book up, and it's the way that I like to do it. This book, unique among books in the Old Testament, is written, there's large portions of it written not in Hebrew, but in Aramaic, which is related to Hebrew, but it was like a trade language that was used for commercial trade among many of the Gentile nations. Chapter 1 is in Hebrew. Chapters 2 through 7 are in Aramaic. Chapters 8 through 12 are back in Hebrew. I think that gives us a good outline of the book. Chapter 1, the personal history of Daniel. That's in Hebrew. Chapters 2 through 7, the prophetic history of the Gentile nations. That's in Aramaic. And then the prophetic history of Israel, chapters 8 through 12, that's again in Hebrew. So it goes Hebrew, Aramaic, Hebrew, personal history of Daniel, chapter 1, prophetic history of the Gentiles, chapters 2 through 7, and then the prophetic history of Israel, chapters 8 through 12. And you want a key verse? How about Daniel 2:28, where Daniel appears before Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had that dream and he couldn't recall it. It's the dream of the statue of a head of gold and a chest of silver and belly and thighs of bronze and legs of iron and feet and toes of iron and clay. A very strange dream. He couldn't remember it. His soothsayers, magicians, couldn't explain it to him, and he was going to kill them all. But Daniel appealed and went to God, and God showed him what the dream was. He went back to the king and said, "Have you figured it out?" And Daniel said, "Well, there's nobody who can do that, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." That's Daniel 2:28. Now, I take that about as good an outline of this, sort of a, not an out, but as good of a theme verse for Daniel as you can find. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. This book, above everything else, reveals to us a God who is absolutely sovereign over kings and empires and the movement of men and nations and armies and victories and defeats. There is a God in heaven who raises up one and brings down another. So now let's read together Daniel 1, 2, and 3. Father, speak to us through this amazing book. Lord, may some of the spirit of Daniel be given to us today to be as bold in our day as he was in his day. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel 1, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. The Lord handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them back to the land of Babylon, to the house of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. The king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years. At the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Among them from the Judahites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief eunuch gave them these names. He gave the name Belteshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. Daniel determined, stop here to say, Daniel 1:8, key to the whole book. Key, we can't get anywhere with Daniel until we understand this is it. Whole story turns on this one verse. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. God had granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. Yet he said to Daniel, I fear the Lord, the king. Fear my Lord, the king, who assigns your food and drink. What if he sees your faces looking thinner than the other men your age? You would endanger my life with the king. So Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief eunuch had assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He agreed with them about this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. At the end of the time that the king had said to present them, the chief eunuch presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they began to attend the king. In every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and mediums in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Roughly, this is a period from about 605 B.C., 536, 535, that's 70 years, 70 years, from a young man to an old man. Now, Daniel chapter 2, we've already gone into the second division of the book, personal history of Daniel in Hebrew, chapter 1. Now, prophetic history of the Gentiles, chapters 2 through 7, Aramaic, Daniel 2. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams that troubled him and sleep deserted him. So the king gave orders to some of the magicians, mediums, sorcerers, and Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. When they came and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream and am anxious to understand it. The Chaldeans spoke to the king. There's a little note in my translation. Aramaic begins here, starting in verse 4. May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will give the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, my word is final. If you don't tell me the dream and its interpretation, you'll be torn limb from limb and your houses will be made into a garbage dump. But if you make the dream and its interpretation known to me, you'll receive gifts, a reward, and great honor from me. So make the dream and its interpretation known to me. They answered a second time, may the king tell the dream to his servants and we will make known the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are trying to gain some time because you see that my word is final. If you don't tell me the dream, there is one decree for you. You have conspired to tell me something false or fraudulent until the situation changes. So, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king, no one on earth can make known what the king requests. Consequently, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked anything like this of any magician, medium, or Chaldean. What the king is asking is so difficult that no one can make it known to him except the gods, whose dwelling is not with mortals. Because of this, the king became violently angry and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree was issued that the wise men were to be executed, and they searched for Daniel and his friends to execute them. Then Daniel responded with tact and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the king's officer, why is the decree from the king so harsh? Then Arioch explained the situation to Daniel. So Daniel went and asked the king to give him some time so that he could give the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, urging them to ask the God of the heavens for mercy concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of Babylon's wise men. The mystery was then revealed to Daniel in a vision at night, and Daniel praised the God of the heavens and declared, May the name of God be praised forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I offer thanks and praise to you, God of my ancestors, because you have given me wisdom and power. And now you have let me know what we ask of you, for you have let us know the king's mystery. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had assigned to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He came and said to him, Don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will give him the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to him, I have found a man among the Judean exiles who can let the king know the interpretation. The king said in reply to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to tell me the dream I had and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king, No wise man, medium, magician, or diviner is able to make known to the king the mystery he asked about. Here's verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has let King Nebuchadnezzar know what will happen in the last days. Your dream and the visions that came into your mind as you lay in bed were these. Your Majesty, while you were in your bed, thoughts came to your mind about what will happen in the future. The revealer of mysteries has let you know what will happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but in order that the interpretation might be made known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. Your Majesty, as you were watching, suddenly a colossal statue appeared. That statue, tall and dazzling, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was terrifying. The head of the statue was pure gold, its chest and arms were silver, its stomach and thighs were bronze, its legs were iron, its feet were partly iron and partly fired clay. As you were watching, a stone broke off without a hand touching it, struck the statue on its feet of iron and fired clay, and crushed them. Then the iron, the fired clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were shattered and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, and not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. Your Majesty, you are King of Kings. The God of the heavens has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and glory. Wherever people live, or wild animals or beasts of the sky, he has handed them over to you and made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to yours, and then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which will rule the whole earth. A fourth kingdom will be as strong as iron, for iron crushes and shatters everything, and like iron that smashes, it will crush and smash all the others. You saw the feet of toes, partly of a potter's fired clay and partly of iron. It will be a divided kingdom, though some of the strength of iron will be in it. You saw the iron mixed with clay, and that the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly fired clay. Part of the kingdom will be strong and part will be brittle. You saw the iron mixed with clay. The peoples will mix with one another, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with fired clay. In the days of those kings, the God of the heavens will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, and this kingdom will not be left to another people. It will crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, but will itself endure. You saw a stone break off from the mountain without a hand touching it, and it crushed the iron, bronze, fired clay, silver, and gold. The great God has told the king what will happen in the future. The dream is certain, and its interpretation reliable. Then King Nebuchadnezzar face down worshipped Daniel and gave orders to present an offering and incense to him. The king said to Daniel, Your God is indeed God of gods, Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, since you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many generous gifts. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to manage the province of Babylon, but Daniel remained at the king's court. Now, there's so much I could say, but I've got to go on. But we're going to get now to the famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and that golden statue, Daniel chapter 3. People say, where was Daniel? The answer is, he was back at the king's court. He was at his station doing his job. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego managed the surrounding province of Babylon, but the city itself, Daniel, was there at the king's court. So now, one of the great moments in Old Testament history, Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to attend the dedication of the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So, satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces assembled for the dedication of the statue the king had set up. Then they stood before the statue Nebuchadnezzar had set up. A herald loudly proclaimed, "People of every nation and language, you are commanded. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, you are to fall face down and worship the gold standard statue the king Nebuchadnezzar set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and every kind of music, people of every nation and language fell down and worshiped the gold statue the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Some Chaldeans took this occasion to come forward and maliciously accuse the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. You as king have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music must fall down and worship the gold statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are some Jews you've appointed to manage the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Then in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I have made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you to know, and we want you as king to know, that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary, and he commanded some of the best soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So these men in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes were tied up and thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent and the fire and the furnace extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of burning fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm. He said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire?" "Yes, of course, your majesty," they replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see 4 men, not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's advisors gathered round, they saw the fire had had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads was singed. Their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I issue a decree that anyone of any people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this. Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. About this last story, there's a reason why we teach this to our kids. Look, here's this whole story, especially the part about the fiery furnace. Watch this. 3, 4, 3. That's that whole story right there. There was 3. Then there were 4. Then there was 3. Where was Jesus? Where did he make himself known? Was he always there? Yes. Because I believe that fourth man in the furnace, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was right. He said, and our translations is like a son of the gods, but, you know, you could translate it like the Son of God. He understood. I think it's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the fiery furnace. He's always with his people. But where does he make himself known? In the furnace. In the furnace. Just when we need him most, Jesus is there. There were 3. Then there were 4. And then when they came out of the furnace, he's gone. He was there when they needed him most. What shall we say about this great man, Daniel? We talked about his 3 friends there. Verse 8 of chapter 1, he purposed in his heart. Purposed in his heart. But there aren't many songs about Daniel that I know. I mean, hymns and such. But in 1873, Philip Bliss, good friend of the great evangelist D.L. Moody, wrote this one. If you're an old timer, you'll know this one. We used to teach this to our kids. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants great and tall stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. May God give us that kind of faith, to purpose in our heart, to do what is right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right though the stars fall. That's the kind of faith of Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. May God give us firm, determined, steadfast faith today to stand for the Lord. Go out and have a great day. Go out and be part of Daniel's band. Make a difference in your world for Christ today. God bless you, folks. Come back tomorrow. We got to get Daniel out of the lion's den. That's going to happen tomorrow. God bless. Come on back. We'll see you then.